Well, I'm going to start the show by saying that I'm pissed off.
Yeah?
That I'm still in a hoodie.
It is definitely hoodie weather out there. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. We are officially in spring, and the last 2 days have been nothing but rainy, cold, nasty shit show.
Yeah.
And I'm aggravated over it. So,
I don't blame you.
I decided that I'm going to have
Screwball.
A little bit of the wiki.
Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with that. It is a solid 9:49. Yeah.
Now you just blew the what we just talked about.
Time stamp.
Why the hell did you go and do a thing like that for?
It's because I'm an idiot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Backwoods Bowhunter, episode 46. And if you follow along with our seasons, which nobody does but me, yep. We are season 2, episode 27.
Yeah, season 2.
There you go.
Yeah.
If you are new to our show, our style is for you to feel like you are sitting around the campfire, sipping on a little something-something with your buddies.
Or coffee.
Talking about bow hunting. Something-something.
Something-something.
Yeah, I mean, that's a generic term. Fits everything.
Yeah.
Bow hunting, whatever else may come to mind. You may find Backwoods Bowhunter at backwoodsbowhunter.com and on the social medias at Backwoods Bowhunter Podcast. I have a Twitter account, but I don't know if I want to reactivate it.
Yeah.
I kind of got mad at Twitter there for a while.
Twitter? What did Twitter do to you?
Oh, they're just too political. I don't. That shit pisses me off.
They're all political.
Yeah, they are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember how to access my soundboard. I've already forgot.
Oh, Lord. It was one of them buttons up there.
Yeah, I think I got it. Okay.
Think so?
Yep.
Let's hope.
I got to read the screen and know what they are. You can contact us, as always, via email at backwoodsbowhunterpodcast@gmail.com. And if you have a couple of minutes, please take the time to review us, Apple and Spotify. Apple, you can star rate it and word rate it. And Spotify, I think you can only star rate it, but whatever.
We'll take all the stars we can get.
We will.
Yeah.
And as always, Backwoods Bowhunter is proud to support and use Scent Crusher and Garmin, which we'll get into here in a little bit.
Hey, scent off, game on.
You got it. You don't even have to have notes anymore.
Only took me 46 episodes to figure it out. Bam.
RTS Sports. Here we are, the countdown tracker, 27 weeks till opening day.
190 days.
Look at you.
Woo!
Look at you. 33 weeks until I go on rotation. Hey, look at this video here I found. If it'll pull up. Boom.
Boots?
This dude does not have any interest in having his antlers on, and he just shakes them off. Check this out. Thought this was cool. Look at that. He sheds his antlers for those who are in the...
Whoa.
Isn't that awesome?
Nice.
I was like, oh, wow.
That's a hell of a camera video to get.
Yeah. So for those in the audio world and not watching it on the YouTube, I don't even know if I'll have this clip on the YouTube since I don't own that video footage there. I probably can't do that. But what is it, a 10-pointer, I think? Yeah. So it's a 10-point buck on trail cam shedding his antlers, and he looks like a dog shaking off water after he gets out of the lake, you know.
And then it looks like he got scared when the antlers hit him. He's like, oh, shit. I've got to get out of here.
Hey, if y'all want to honor a friend or a relative who's out there protecting the thin blue line, submit your blue line badass to us at backwoodsbowhunterpodcast@gmail.com and using this platform to honor the men and women doing one of the hardest jobs is the slightest we can do. This is 2 weeks in a row. We don't have a submission. What's going on?
I don't know.
Bunch of backwoods-ass people out there.
Need to step up a little bit. Bring us their A game.
That's right. We can't play this
without a submission.
Great.
Hell yeah.
Gotta have that.
Bad boys.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think it's time to go into the backwoods. Here we go.
Here we go.
It's the mystical flight of the arrow traveling downrange, searching for its next target. the thrill of chasing the elusive whitetail buck as it slips through the tall oaks, the hair that stands up on your neck when you hear that long-bearded turkey gobble in the spring. It's our passion. It's our tradition. It's Backwoods Bowhunter. And now, it's time to go full draw with your hosts, Tim Jarvis and Mike Edgen.
Hey, look at that. That's us two assholes.
That's us, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't even know where to start. I mean, I do, but I don't. Let's get you fired up first. Why not?
Me?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, hell.
You want to wait or do you want me to fire you up?
Oh, no, let's do it.
Okay.
Let's fucking rip into it.
I found this.
Oh, boy.
See that deer right there?
Yeah.
So that is a Wisconsin record. It's a pretty badass buck.
Yeah, it is.
Right? Now, look at this. Officially nets 190 and 7/8 inches, smashing the Wisconsin
crossbow record. I hope her name's Kevin.
I know how you feel about crossbows, so I wanted to make sure we just, you know.
I really do. I hope
got on a good start here.
I hope her name's Kevin.
Why is that?
Because I want her to be the one who shot that, not him. Because he's definitely not handy capable. You know what I mean? There's no reason he should be hunting with the crossbow.
Yeah, I'm
gonna, it's grown ass man.
I'm gonna go with confidence that his name is probably Kevin and hers is not. But you never know in today's world.
Yeah, I'm hoping her name's Kevin. That's all I'm saying. Because I'm not impressed then by that deer at all.
It is a pretty badass set of antlers.
It is. And then he Euro mounted it.
No, if you read the article, it's
okay.
He's getting like a replica and a full.
That's cute. That's cute.
Pedestal mount or something.
Yeah, maybe they'll pedestal mount his crossbow too. That would be fucking really cute. Put it right next to the goddamn deer.
See, I had that set for last just to fire you up.
No, now you already did it. Now the whole show shot. Okay. Now I'm going to be mad.
Oh, well.
That is nice though.
Yeah,
it's embarrassing how I got it.
Solid deer. Yeah, and yet again, if you're watching the video feed, I probably will not post this because it's not mine. I don't know. I don't want to get in any kind of, I don't know that I can just post Field and Stream's articles and pictures.
I don't know if we can or can't.
I don't know how that works.
I don't see why we couldn't.
So,
yeah.
I know I can post that because that's mine.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Guess we can get into the trail cams. That's what today's show is supposed to be about anyway. So, you know, we've talked about this before, and it still pisses me off with these states. They're only Western states, really, but these Western states that are banning the use of trail cameras, and we talked about it at length already on one of these episodes, but then it fired me back up again when I saw an article that the state of Utah apparently got a bunch of backlash over the decision to ban them. So they had an appeals hearing, and during their little appellate-style hearing, whatever that consists of, their seven-member board decided that they were going to uphold their original decision.
Their decision, yeah.
They are banning the prevention of trail cameras, and it doesn't matter if it's cell cam or non-cell cam. They're banning them on public and private land.
Private too, huh?
So that's where I have a problem with the whole damn thing, and we'll get into that. But where I really have a problem is when some government body starts dictating to you what you're going to do on your own private land.
Yeah.
That is a mega problem.
Big problem.
Big problem.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of negative feedback they were getting from their decision, other than I know they got a lot, and I'm sure a lot of that was because of that part of it right there, you know, the private land section.
I'm sure that had a lot to do with it.
Yeah. So they are saying, and Boone and Crockett and Pope and Young apparently are right on board with it, that it's not considered fair chase, and that's the issue.
Hmm.
Now, my thing is, okay, so somehow or another, I heard that this stemmed from, like, some watering hole incident in Arizona where there's a trail camera on the only watering hole, and within a mega or whatever. You know, so the animals are coming to this watering hole because it's their only spot.
And, yeah.
Okay. But I mean, I don't know. I've never hunted Arizona, but I know like here, even if I have, I don't have my cell cams set up to send me pictures live.
Yeah.
Some people do.
Yeah.
And I don't. But even if I did, it's not as if I'm going to get mm-hmm. that picture and then all of a sudden go...
get dressed, get your shit, and get out and stand.
Yeah, you know...
Without spooking that deer.
De-stink myself and get all ready to go and grab my bow, or if I'm gone somewhere, you know, hop in the truck and drive back home. And that shit ain't happening.
No.
You know?
Mm-mm.
I don't get it. But to me, there are... way bigger problems facing the hunting community
than a trail cam,
than worrying about the use of trail cameras.
Yeah.
And we talked about this before is, you know, there are so many people from it, and this is referencing out west, of course, so many people who are on waiting lists forever, you know, from anywhere in mm-hmm. the country, not just from that state, trying to go have their once in a lifetime hunt. And it's not as if they can go out there and do a bunch of scouting or know the area. They have to rely on some of that tech.
Yep.
It's just a shame. And
I mean, for the outfitters too. I mean, they're not going to make any money if they start getting negative reviews on Yelp.
Mm-hmm.
People saying, yeah, don't go there. We didn't see shit all week, because they can't use the cameras to see, okay, this is the area that they're coming through. I mean, it's different knowing what areas they're coming in through. And not only that, but when you have hundreds, thousands of acres, you can't get out. Like, we can go out, you can go out in your woods, I can go out in my little section, and we can walk around and we can find the areas, you know, that are having heavy deer track. You know what I mean? So this way we can get out there and we can say, okay, this is a good area, we'll set up over here. When you got thousands of acres, you can't go out there and walk thousands of acres to find out where your good trails are, and you know what I mean, where to set up. So,
well, and one of the
slap in the face.
It is. And one of the things that I think what a trail camera does that's good, I mean, they do a lot of good, but one thing that's super crucial is if you're worried about that damn watering hole, you know what a trail camera does? It keeps human intrusion out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going out there as much doing what you're talking about, walking those properties, looking, scouting, doing your thing. Human activity and the human scent is staying out of there because mm-hmm. you have a tool.
Yeah.
To do the job better. You know, that's what we do. As I said in one of these shows before, we evolve it with technology to find ways to improve and do things better.
Yep. From an old stick and maybe a whisker from a saber-toothed tiger to today.
There you go.
Long way to go.
Just over the course of the last 2 years.
Yeah. So the last couple years. I remember the old saber-tooth.
We've
real
got
long whiskers.
We've got a fellow who's going to join the show here in the near future that's from Arizona. I can't wait to get his take on it.
Yeah.
He may have a completely different approach. I don't know. I've not set any of this up with him ahead of time. So
I hope he doesn't hunt with a crossbow.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God.
I've seen his YouTube videos. He is definitely vertical compound.
Okay, good. Because I'd hate to have him right off the bat. You know what I mean? Just like, I got to go. It'd be the Tim and the guy from Arizona show, because I'm out.
I've got a couple of guys I'm trying to line out to get on here that are crossbow hunters, and
oh, that would be great. Yeah,
we may just have to do that solo.
That'd be awesome.
A solo operation going on.
Mm-hmm. No. I want to be here.
Oh, you want to be
here? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I want them to sit right there.
Well, they're
right there.
They're from out of the area, so.
Tim, man.
I
don't know why what you do to me. It's probably why my back's all jacked. Probably the stress.
I'm sure it is.
I'm sure it's stress levels.
I'm sure it is. So I made a list, you know, and I guess the point of this whole thing is why are we targeting trail cameras? I mean, where do you draw the damn line in technology? Trail cameras, just one smidgen of hunting tech that mm-hmm. has came along over the last couple of decades, you know?
Yeah.
So why is it that's where we're going to draw the line in the sand is trail cameras?
Yeah. Maybe that's not where they're going to draw the line. Maybe that's where they're starting the freaking line.
Well, and that's the fear. So I just made a quick little list of things that, why not these?
Yeah.
Why not climbers?
Yeah.
Or your favorite, saddles.
Oh, I love saddles.
Or 3D blinds. Those are all tools that have advanced.
That trick a deer.
That gets you better suited, right? This is a big one to me, e-bikes. We now have bicycles that are electronic that make no sound whatsoever that get you in and out of the woods quietly. All the different broadheads on the market. I mean, how far have those came along over the years?
Yeah.
You know.
The old days of the entrance wound being the size of a quarter to now being, you know, pretty big.
Mm-hmm. This is an interesting topic to go on our first show that's going to go on the YouTube channel.
The YouTubes.
It's one of the controversial topics going on, so I'm sure the comments will be great.
Yeah.
How about compound bows? I mean, how far have those came? I mean, just in the 30 years that I've been using one, the first one that I ever had, which I still have here, compared to what I've got now, I mean, holy shit.
Yeah.
I mean, they're night and day difference.
Yep.
And that technology continues to improve. And, you know, now we're drawing 80-pound bows and we have 85% let-offs. And, I mean, holy hell. You know, I mean, that's technology.
You know what gets me? Is how many years ago was it that crossbow hunting was only for handicap and seniors? Okay.
Still in the crossbow rabbit hole?
Well, no, but we're going with things that should be banned instead of.
I have crossbows on my list here. Technology involving crossbows. But anyway.
I jumped you.
It's okay.
I jumped the ship.
It's okay.
So, and then when they made them legal, it was like a short period of time that you can use a crossbow. And now it's just fucking willy-nilly with them.
Yeah.
So you're going to get rid of a damn trail cam, cell cam, but it's okay to use a crossbow. I think they're going after the wrong thing here.
You think they should target crossbows?
I think they need to target crossbows and stop fucking with the trail cams. Sorry, crossbow people. Sorry, Kevin.
How about carbon-infused clothing and UV detergents?
Yeah.
And UV sprays and everything that controls that scent and so forth.
The cover scents back in the day was just a straight
that's
earth or dirt smell. That was it, pretty much.
Ozone technology.
Yeah.
The ozonics are scent crusher products that we are using. I mean, that's a huge one.
Someone's sitting in a stand with an ozonic over their head.
Yeah.
Totally blowing
that's
away
fine.
Their... Yeah. That's okay.
Fine. That's okay.
But not a camera.
But not a trail cam.
Not a trail cam that you can get a picture of when you're not even in the tree stand.
Modern release aids, modern optics, illuminated reticles, lighted nocks.
Yeah.
Modern ammunition for those who are in the gun hunters. I mean, the ammunition that's out nowadays is leagues different from where it was 20 years ago. I mean, all of these items, all of this tech, that's the geese out there going crazy. They all aid in a good, clean, ethical hunt and recovery. Yeah. That's what these tools are for.
All but one.
All but trail cams, apparently, right?
No. Crossbow.
Oh, crossbow.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not clean and ethical.
Yeah. Well, they haven't attacked that yet.
Nikki, you know I'm not talking about you, so let's just call that what it is.
Don't piss her off. We might need her for her graphic skill sets.
We're going to need her for her graphic skill sets. Absolutely, we are.
So those are just a
love you, Nikki.
That's not an all-inclusive list, of course. That's just a few things that I came up with. That I don't, why are we drawing the line with trail cams, but yet all of these other things are perfectly fine.
Yeah.
You know, I don't get it. I put these on there because, you know, we can't do this in our state, but in a lot of states you can have feeders and bait the wildlife.
Yeah.
So no damn trail camera, but it's okay to
put 100 pounds of fucking corn, but you can't take a picture of it.
Yeah, put a shit ton of corn on the ground and climb up in your box blind and hover right over the top of it. But by God, don't mount a trail cam watching it.
No,
you know, can't be doing that.
No,
really?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we can't do that here in Illinois.
No, but,
you know, neighboring states you can.
Yeah, you drive 45 minutes hour from here, and you can go throw out freaking a whole shit ton of corn and bait, anything else you want to throw out there, and you can sit right on top of it and hunt.
But you know, attractants.
But you can't use a camera.
Attractants that we can use yeah. are mock scrapes and licking branches and things like that. So yeah. we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. You know, I mean, yeah. we can still use trail cams in Illinois, but I'm just saying, you know, there's nothing that I know of in Arizona or Utah or whatever these other states that I had the whole list last time, but there's nothing that I know of that you can't put out a mock scrape.
Yeah.
No. And hunt over that.
Well, hell, even you can go straight to a deer farm and buy doe pee right from the source. You know, you can get the, oh, Lord, help me. Yeah, I got nothing.
I don't know.
But yeah.
I'm not sure where you were going.
You can go out and buy products straight from the deer and walk out in the woods with it as fresh as it can be, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. And you could spray that, and it can blow around and bring the deer in, but you can't take a picture of it.
Yeah. You know, one that was specific to me, too, was with Garmin, with that.
Estrus. That's the word I was looking for.
With the estrus.
Go estrus.
With the Zero A1A sight.
Yeah.
There's a lot of states that don't allow those electronic bow sights.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's my thing with that. If I draw that bow and that bow sight on the screen says, don't shoot because there's a limb in the way. Okay. Say, I don't know that. I don't know there's a limb in the way because it's just small enough that it's just out of my field of vision or whatever that sight's picking up on. And I let that arrow fling and that limb redirects it and say, I hit far back on the animal.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've injured the animal. If it's going to die, it's probably going to take a hell of a lot longer to die.
Mm-hmm.
Or how about you say, okay, that bow sight's great because it just told you not to take that shot.
Yeah.
Find a more ethical path. I I'm not seeing the problem, you know.
No.
I really don't.
No.
So I don't get it. You know, one thing with harping on the trail cams a little bit more too is something I enjoy doing is looking through those pictures with my daughter.
Yeah.
You know, early season we start looking at what deer are on the property and sharing those pictures, and then usually I get just infatuated with whatever I see on there and forget about hunting anything mm-hmm. else. But that's all part of the fun.
Yeah.
And another time, you know, that we utilize it that we did this year is you get pumped up when you see on your trail cams that a couple of deer that you've been hunting.
Yeah.
Maybe you never had the opportunity to have an encounter, are still here, you know, so it gets your wheels spinning for next year.
Yeah.
Are those deer going to be here?
Yeah. Well, that's just like when, you know, like we go to Todd's every year and he'll start sending pictures, you know, July, August, he'll start sending pictures and then September and then October. And then we go out there and honestly, maybe seen one or two of those deer. The ones I shot the last 3 years out there, never seen in my camera. One of them we might have, but we've never seen those deer on camera. So all those cameras he's got out and all the footage he has and all the pictures he has did us a damn bit of good because the deers that I ended up shooting, none of them were on the cameras.
Did you say the deers?
The deers, yeah.
Okay, making sure.
It was multiples.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. Shut your mouth.
Okay. anyway, that's where I'm at. Mm-hmm. I don't get it. I don't get the mentality. And I don't mean to continue kicking the dead horse, so to speak, because that phrase is used a lot, but it makes no damn sense to me, and I have yet to hear any sort of argument that makes sense, you know, the opposing argument. So it'll be cool to get John on here and see what he has to say, being that he's entrenched in the Arizona hunting world, and I think that's the state that started this whole thing, I believe, with the bands. So,
well, let's hope he's on Team Mike and Tim.
I hope.
That would be sad if he wasn't.
I hope. I mean, he's entitled to an opinion. And
no, absolutely.
And if his opposes, I would love to hear what
why.
It is.
Yeah.
To sell mm-hmm. me on it.
Yeah.
And especially, even if we want to put aside whether or not we consider it fair chase, but especially sell me on the fact that I can't use it on my own property that I own.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, here's the thing, too, with that is I do hunt a lot of public land. And I've never put a trail cam out on public land because I don't want some shitbag to steal it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know they got boxes that you can get.
Can you tell that story? I'm going to reset the camera real quick.
Okay. You know, I don't put lock boxes out. I don't do any of that on private property, but I'm not going to go out in public land and put a camera out and hope that, you know, some scumbag doesn't come through and steal it. So I don't know who's putting cameras out in public land. You got to be awful brave to do that anyway, or just have the money to throw away for some crackhead to come and steal your camera and take it to the pawn shop. But I'm not doing it. I only put them on the private, you know, private land. So I don't know who's putting them out on public land anyway. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good job. Yep, I hear you. So it's been an interesting week. Needless to say, I got to get off the trail cam story, or I'll just continue to get mad. And then,
well, that's what you get for pulling up that picture right off the bat at the beginning of the show to rile me up.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I know your trigger point. Every day, I'll just, when you start pissing me off, I'll be like, Tim, I really think maybe we should get rid of them trail cams.
So we record the show on Wednesdays, and my week story started Wednesday, a week ago today. So we've been building this trail in the woods, as you know, we've talked about, and which, by the way, it is already paying off. I watched, so where we created a part of it was, so I've talked about on here that the deer on our property don't bed here.
Yeah.
They are across the roadway. So they're constantly crossing the roadway out there. Well, part of the trail that we created, there's a section where you come to where it Y's. So there's a place where it can come straight across and maybe loop them back around to the other side of our property. Or they can cut through a section that we cleared out and go straight across the roadway to over the other side, you know. Where usually they cross further to the east. That's where they always cross at. So I was out here jacking around the other day, and there was four or five does were actually moving down that new trail that we created. And I watched them go straight through that opening and across the roadway.
Nice.
So I thought that was pretty cool. You know,
nice.
Hard work pays off sometimes. But
just put a bridge up there, prevent them from ever getting hit too.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah. Yeah. Put some grass on it. They'll go over the top.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll work on that. So when we made said trail, of course, we're only a fourth of the way done with it, but we were working on it during winter wet times. So
yeah,
when we were making the trail and we were taking the side by side through there, going to create some ruts and mud it up a little bit, and that's okay.
Yeah,
nothing too bad. So last Wednesday, my daughter comes to me and says, you know, may I get on the side by side and just go ride the trail for, you know, just want to go out in the woods and be on the trail for a minute. And I'm like, you do realize that we've only got, you know, a certain section of it done. You know, we've not gone past that. And she goes, I don't care. You know, I just want to go out there.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I have no problem with it.
Fair enough.
Yep. So I'm sitting up here by the barn and I can hear, you know, that sound. And I'm like, what the hell? So I start working my way out that way, and she has absolutely buried the son of a bitch. I mean, buried it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, God dang it, child. You know, and I don't want to be mad at her because I'm happy that she wants to be out there doing it, you know, but I'm like, it's buried, like to the floorboard buried.
I've seen pictures. It was nice.
I'm probably going to post the picture as our art for the show.
She done real good.
Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, I don't know how I'm going to get this out, you know, and I jumped on it and tried to work it a little bit. And no, I mean, it was buried.
No.
So I'm like, shit. And she's like, what do we do? And I said, my fear is, truthfully, it's going to have to just park it. It's going to have to sit out here in the woods all spring until everything dries out, because we always have super wet springs here.
Yeah.
Until everything dries out, it's just going to have to sit here. I mean, I can't get the damn thing out. And the more I thought about that, the more pissed off I got, because I'm like, it's a brand new side-by-side that we just got in December, you know. So I asked her, did you put it in four-wheel drive? And she's like, well, I did, but not till I was already kind of pretty stuck.
Hmm.
Like, well, at that point, it's
yeah,
not going to be of any use. So then I'm like, okay, the only other thing I can do is try to get my tractor out there, but I don't want to get it stuck.
Yeah, that would have been probably pleasant.
So I took my tractor and I backed it in from where it goes from our, where the trail starts at our field line. I backed it in right there, but it goes around a curve that I can't maneuver that tractor around that curve. It's not even a curve. It's a 90-degree angle almost. Yeah. I can't maneuver that, you know, and then that's when you get into where it was really swampy and muddy and nasty. So I'm like, okay, I think I'm okay here. I can still have traction with the tractor without getting too far into the woods. So then I came and got my tow strap, and of course the tow strap didn't get anywhere near the side-by-side.
Yeah.
So I came and got another one. It fell short. Came and got a third one. Got it all hooked up, and then finally was, you know, able to pull it out of there, and then just enough to get out of that section she was in, and then she drove it the rest of the way out. But
yeah.
Wow.
It was muddy.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So then she brings it up here, and she's like, I'll wash it all off. I'll wash the side-by-side off. I'll wash the tractor off. I'm like, yeah, you damn right you will.
Yep.
So the reason these barricades are sitting right out here now is because where she washed it off, there is mud everywhere right there.
It's muddy.
And it's done nothing but rain and shit since then. Yeah. So now it's created a whole muddy mess, and even in the driveway, you know, so I just can't get ahead of it.
No. No. When shit goes down, it goes down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then that brings us to Friday. So her 16th birthday was Friday. And we had a little surprise party set up for her, and being a Catholic family, we have to have fish. So we have a fish fry. You were here.
I was here.
Very familiar with it.
Yeah. I remember.
So, how this goes down is, this isn't even the dry fryer segment. I'm just random here, you know.
Yeah. I think you're draining my dry fryer section completely, so I'm loving it.
So she has school, of course, and... when she gets out of school, which is 3 o'clock, we have to now make an appointment with your driver's license facility. We call them DMVs here in Illinois.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're called in the listening world out there, but you have to make an appointment now. Didn't have to before, but now we do. And so my wife had already made an appointment. She got the earliest time slot she could get, which I believe was 3:50. So the plan is, we're going to get her over there to get her driver's license taken care of. And then, you know, I worked all day long Friday getting set up for the party, or trying to, because it fucking rained all day long.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the stuff I wanted to do, we had an archery game that we were setting up, couldn't do.
No.
Had a little golf game set up that I was going to do, couldn't do. Cornhole bags, couldn't do. But anyway, I worked all day long getting stuff set up. And she gets her over there at 3:50. And then the point was, she's going to get her driver's license. So it's different now than when I went through driver's education. You know, when I went through driver's education, you had the classes, you drove with your instructor, and then you took the written test, but then you still had to go over to the DMV on your birthday and or whenever you went and take the driving test and then get your license.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, in high school, they take both the written test and the driving test with the instructor. So now all they have to do is go to the DMV and just present the paperwork and get the license.
Okay. Nice.
So say all that to say this. The plan is, we get her over there. She's going to get her license. Hopefully that won't take too awful long, since you have an appointment now.
Yeah, an appointment.
You're not waiting in line.
No.
You're in and out. Piece of paper. You know.
Quick.
Come on back home. And then I told her, you know, when you get home, what I want you to do is jump in your car, and I want you to go out and see my mom and dad. So while she goes out and sees mom and dad, I finish setting up tables and the things that we need to do and get the fish fryers going and things like that, so that when she comes home at the time the party starts, it's a surprise.
Surprise.
Yeah. All right. Deep breath. Okay. So she gets over there, and we learn that, so they had given us a checklist. These are the documents that you have to bring. I know how my family is, so I personally made sure we had the documents. I put them all together, paper clipped them. Bless me.
Bless you.
Excuse me.
There you go.
I paper clipped them all together. I even check marked them off on the sheet that they provide. Make sure we have everything.
Yeah.
She gets over there and they tell us, number one, you know, this takes about 30 minutes and we don't have that kind of time. Well, we made an appointment like you said we had to do. It's not our problem. You don't have 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, we did what we were required to do.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, they say it's spot check day. So apparently 3 times a month or some shit like that, they have a spot check day, which required more paperwork than what we brought.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
naturally,
I was going to go with them, with my wife and daughter, to be there with her when she gets her license.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad I didn't. I'm glad I was here putting together the party because I had to take photos of the rest of this paperwork and send over there that wasn't on their checklist.
Yeah.
And secondly, she has to take the driver's test again. So now by the time she gets back to here, I'm really pressing it on time to get her out of here. Okay, finally get her out of here. And as if that's not bad enough, we went a week ahead to get the fish. We were buying it from a local food company who carries bulk. So like a local Sam's Club type of deal. And a week ago, they said, you know, you don't need to buy it today. Just come back Thursday,
mm-hmm.
the day before your party. Buy it then. We always have it. There's
fish shortage.
No concerns of running out type of thing. And he said, if you buy it Thursday, it will thaw out by Friday evening. You'll be good. Good to go.
Yeah.
Well, where I went wrong is I took him for his word on the thaw out process.
Of course.
I trusted that it would. And it's all boxed up, so you can't see it.
Yeah.
It's just in a box. So about an hour before the party, I get the fryers going, get the grease in them, and it trips my breaker out here multiple times. So we couldn't ever get the grease really going good and hot because it kept tripping out everything. I don't know why. I don't know if maybe the rain had something to do with it.
Yeah.
I don't know because it was plugged into a GFI outlet out here, but it wasn't even tripping the GFI. It was tripping the main breaker,
nice.
Which is a whole other thing I didn't think of till just now. Usually it trips it at the plug first.
Yeah. Yep.
But it wasn't. And I get the fish out about an hour ahead of time and open up the boxes, and they are brick solid frozen. Man, I mean, it was just to me, an absolute pure disaster. Now, you know, the plan was to have, you know, hot fish on everybody's plate. Right at the beginning of the party, and instead it was, an hour and 20 minutes later or something like that.
Give or take, yeah.
Nobody complained.
No.
Everybody seemed to be just fine. The fish did taste good when we finally got it fried.
Yeah.
But it was a bitch to get fried because, A, it was frozen, and, B, I couldn't get hot oil going because we kept tripping everything out.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'll take a breath.
There you go.
What do you have to say?
That is a fact. It was a little frozen, but you guys did improvise pretty well. Got the cooler filled with water, dumped it in there so it would start somewhat.
Yeah,
fine.
I don't know,
that water got really fucking cold.
I don't know how far ahead we got on that, but yeah, you're right. It was like ice water at the
one.
It was all.
By the time you got all said and done, it was ice water.
Yeah,
so it really wasn't thawing very quickly.
Well, I still have 10 pounds of fish that we didn't cook, so I want a redo.
Is it frozen?
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, let's fry it. We don't want to go through that again.
I want to do a redo, so that's, I think, what I'm going to do.
Hey, the party turned out fine. Everyone still had fun. And if someone complained, they didn't do it out loud, so, hey.
Yeah. I tried to explain to everybody the best I could and you know, just let them know, but...
No, they were having fun. They were talking, giggling. No one cared.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. The French fries came a little late, but that wasn't on you, so I'm not blaming you.
Yeah, so we were frying hush puppies, fish, and fries.
Those were good, too.
We couldn't get they were very good. We couldn't get the damn fryers going, so my wife's like, well, I'll just bake the fries, you know, so she took the fries in, and I don't know what she did to lose. She loses focus all the time. You can't keep her on track.
Hey, squirrel.
But we finally got ready where we're like, hey, you know, we need to check the status of the fries because we've got some fish now coming off, you know. And I go in there and I'm like, what's the status on the fries? And she's like, oh, yeah, they're going to be a little bit. The oven's still warming up. So, yeah, basically, I just now turned on the oven.
Literally just now.
Okay, that was only 40 minutes ago, you know. Anyway. So then we turned around the next day, Saturday, and had another party because Elena, what she wanted to do was have just a social gathering of her high school buddies.
Mm-hmm.
So we rented the little facility here in town and had a bunch of her high school girls and a few of the male versions come to that.
No.
Now, it was, you know, this is more urban than rural, but you go into some of these urban areas and you go through a subdivision and it's like cookie cutter boxes, you know, houses, you know, they're all mm-hmm. the same.
Yep.
You know, every house, I don't know how people know which one they live
Neither
in.
Neither do I. All, you cannot be an alcoholic and live in a subdivision.
They're all carbon copied off of one another, yeah. You know.
Same color.
That's how these girls were. They were cookie cutters. Every one of them had little crop top white shirts on, except for Elena. She had a dress on, but they had these pants on that are all ripped all to shreds and giant holes in the knees and white tennis shoes. Every one of them. And I'm like, how do you even know who's who? You're all the same.
Yeah.
No. I mean, it was crazy.
I have to confess, me and Elena are having a conversation, and she's like, I think I want to go watch you and Dad film the show on Wednesday. I said, well, hell, you just got to play sick.
Right.
And she's like, I'll have to do that. So I told her, though, I said, you got to start pre-gaming the sickness on Tuesday. You wake up, oh, God, I don't feel good. Because Elena was having those stomach issues. Mm-hmm. So I told her, I said, play on that. You know, bank on that. You've already got the sympathy card from them. It'll work. I said, wake up, tell them, oh, man, I'm not feeling so good. And be like, you know, I'm going to go today. You know, I'm going to struggle. Come home, keep working the angle. When you wake up Wednesday, be like, oh, can't do it. I said, then you be home and you come watch the show. She's like, okay, I think I'm going to try that. But you told me she started playing that card last night, so she missed her window of opportunity. I'll teach her.
Yeah, she waited till about 7:30 or so last night and started in on it.
I'll teach her. She'll learn.
Yeah, she said, I need to be sick tomorrow. She didn't even say she was sick. She was readily admitting out loud that she was going to fake the sickness.
Ugh.
She's like, I need to pretend to be sick tomorrow morning and not go to high. She goes, I'll go in the afternoon. I just can't go in the morning. And her mom was like, what the hell? What? She's like, well, I want to be on the Spotify. And then my mom, who was there too, you know, she's like, on the Spotify? What are you talking about? And then she goes, with Tim and Mike, or Dad and Mike. And my mom was like, oh, because my mom knows what we do here, you know.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I get it, you know. So, yeah, she was even honest about it the whole time. She wasn't even trying to play the sickness. She was just straight up.
I'll teach her. We'll have to work on that. She's still young. She's still able to be warped.
That she is.
My kids would have played that to the freaking hell, I tell you what. They'd have started on Monday. They'd have been way fucking pre-gaming. They'd have struggled Monday and Tuesday to get to school and just dead on Wednesday. But, yeah.
Well, I'm going to hit the commercial here right quick, and we'll be right back.
Unless you're tracking the blood trail on a whitetail, tune in for more of the Backwoods Bowhunter Podcast.
So I have, let me get over back over here. I have this neat device on my hand, on my wrist. This is...
Is that that Garvin knife? Or is that a Havilon watch?
Garmin has...
I'm a dick.
It has. Yeah, you are.
Yes, I'm sorry.
You are indeed. This watch has been back-ordered, but we've been reading about it here. Not all of them have been back-ordered, just the Tactical Solar Edition, which is what I have here. Garmin has finally sent me my Instinct 2 Tactical Solar Edition smartwatch.
Nice.
And I'm in love with it. So I had the Garmin Fenix 6. It was the watch I had before, and I really liked it. But it has a shit ton of features that I just don't use. But not that this one doesn't, but this is cool. So my Fenix has 11 days of battery life before you recharge it, depending on what you're doing.
Yeah.
If you're doing a lot of GPS stuff, then it eats that up more. But my ear's itching. This one, out of the box, was at 27 days.
Hmm.
But it's solar. So,
yeah.
So far, the lowest I've seen it get at where it's at right now, because we're having all this cloudy bullshit out
here,
is 25 days of battery.
I say there's been no solar activity.
But as soon as I have a little bit of sunlight, it's going to go right back up to 27. And I just think that's awesome.
That is pretty neat.
And I love the color, this tactical, what do they call it? Coyote tan, I think is the name of it.
It's definitely a hunter color.
It's pretty sweet.
It's definitely hunter colored.
So, to read the actual advertisement that I'm supposed to be doing, Garmin Instinct 2 is a rugged GPS smartwatch, tough enough to keep up with your demands while you push the boundaries in the woods or on the trail. Choose from the standard edition for up to 28 days of battery life in smartwatch mode, which meaning basic mode, you're not getting into the GPS stuff, which will drain that, or choose the solar version, i.e. mine, for unlimited battery. The watch has a hunt mode, a fish mode, along with your standard fitness activity modes for runners and hikers. With the Garmin Instinct 2, there is something for your type of adventure.
Nice.
Look how I did that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That was very intense
yeah.
at the end. I kind of got, all excited.
I'm pretty damn impressive.
Balloon tits.
Somewhere on here. Entertain the audience for a minute. I got to find the...
Oh. You want me to do a little karaoke or?
Sure.
No. Especially not today.
There's a lot of stuff on here that I disabled because I'm not going to use it. Yeah, here it is. I'm not going to use some of this stuff. So I disabled like snowboarding and skiing and I'm not doing that shit. E-biking, I don't have an e-bike.
No.
Cyclocross, I don't even know what the shit that is.
No.
Bike tour. I'm definitely not going on a bike tour. Triathlon, swimming, open water. Yeah.
That bad boy waterproof?
I get in a pool to drink beer, not swim. So,
yeah.
It is.
Does it have a beer drinking?
I haven't seen that one
telly?
Yet.
Because, I mean, if you use that wrist, it could tell you how many. You know, it can keep some pretty detailed facts on your drinking.
Yoga, HIIT classes, backcountry skiing, you know, and the list goes on. I'm not doing any.
Country skiing.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Apparently
that's something different than regular skiing.
Is that like when rednecks break out like the inner tubes and go down a hill? Is that backwoods skiing?
Maybe we're onto something. Create something new.
Yes.
But ones that I did keep are the running segment because I do run.
Yeah.
Biking. I do occasionally get on my bike. Strength stuff because I do a lot of kettlebell stuff. Trail running, hiking. I put kayaking on here because every once in a while I do that.
Kayaking is fun.
And then it's got boating, fishing, hunting, and, you know, and the list goes on. But
hunting?
Yeah, there's a hunting mode.
The hell's that mean? What's it do?
It does kind of like what...
It doesn't have a trail cam connected, does it? Because that would be illegal.
No. No, it's mostly geared towards crossbows.
Oh, okay, I see how you did that. All right, yeah, that was cute, yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, boom, again.
It tracks your, like, if you're almost like Onyx does. So
I got you.
It'll track your, if you're going out on a public spot and you want to track your route that you take in and out, or you can mark, you find a scrape, you can mark the scrape on there.
Nice.
You have maps and things like that. Yeah. So it's not quite as sophisticated as Onyx.
Onyx.
But it offers a lot of those features just at, you know, at wrist level.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
I can appreciate that.
Is that what you appreciate about it?
That's what I appreciate about it.
So check it out. That's the Garmin Instinct 2, and you may buy that through us if you so choose to do so. It is carried through my running store, but you can access that through Backwoods Bowhunter as well. So nice. You can either go to Run to Succeed Sports or visit one of our locations or come to Backwoods Bowhunter, and I will hook you up with a Garmin. Hooking you up for a free one.
I was going to say, bro, watch that.
But I will more than happy to sell you
one.
Whichever version of Garmin, it don't even have to be the Instinct, whichever version of Garmin you have an interest in, if you so do.
Yeah. Very nice.
Speaking of giveaways, because we have the video going today as well, hopefully it works this time. I tried this once before.
Yeah, that came out pretty well.
Speaking of that, I'm going to give away something. So all you have to do is either comment or like on one of the socials. So when I put the show live, when it goes out to the masses.
Yep, the masses. To the millions!
I will also put it on the socials.
On the socials.
And anybody who clicks like or comments, you will randomly be entered into a drawing to win for free.
For free.
A 5-pin bow sight. It'll be an extreme archery bow sight. The sight's called the Sniper. It's a very nice bow sight. It's about a $180 bow sight, full retail, when Extreme Archery was in business.
Nice.
That doesn't sound right for what we're talking about, but they have the COVID, I think, kind of played a role in their world and shut them down. They filed bankruptcy. But I do have 3 or 4 of their bow sights remaining, so I'm going to give away an Extreme Archery Sniper bow sight, 5-pin.
Nice.
Sight. It's a very nice sight.
I'm going to get on and I'm going to like.
It's the sight that I use share on my Hoyt, other than it's a single pin. Yeah. And it's been a great bow sight. I have no complaints with it whatsoever. It's all sweet. Dovetailed and very nice.
Nice. I will be getting on and liking.
There you go.
Sharing, commenting. I might even throw a nasty comment on about you.
You should.
Yeah. I'll do it anonymously.
Where's my...
Reckon what you like to eat in there? This
is your get your eat on backyard style section that we do occasionally. We don't do it every show.
Fair enough.
You cooked a ham. Yes. Smoked a ham, I should smoked say. It. How'd that go?
It was pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was I got rushed a little bit.
You don't seem too convinced.
No. I got rushed a little bit because I was, I took my youngest and my oldest son's best friend, and I took my youngest son. We went fishing. And I told him, I said, it'd probably be ready about 4:35. Now, it doesn't get dark till 7:30, so we still have plenty of time to get out.
Why 4:35? Why not like 4:37 or 4:38?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, you mean 4:30.
Or 5.
/5.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. So, he calls at 3 o'clock, calls Jimmy at 3 o'clock and says, what time are we going fishing? So I told you when the fucking ham gets done. I said, it's going to be done between 4:30 and 5. You said 3 o'clock earlier. No, I'm pretty sure I didn't. At least don't words in my mouth. So at 4:30, I took it off. And then we ate shortly after that. This way we can go fishing at 5 because I didn't want to hear him cry anymore.
All right,
Dan. That's what I said. He almost got the 2 good whacks.
Yeah.
Cleared, plum took it off.
I haven't played that one yet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. May get to that.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's... But I did use that cherry glaze again because I really liked
that. That's good stuff, yeah.
What upset me is I didn't buy pineapples.
See, I'm not a big pineapple guy.
I love the pineapples. Put them in there about last hour.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you, and I know that's a common staple with a ham, but I'm just, that's one fruit that I just don't care for is pineapple.
That ain't right.
I hear you. Mm-hmm. I'm the only one in this house that feels that way. Everybody else loves it, but it's just not my thing.
Your camera? Isn't it going to be close?
I just reset it when we hit the commercial.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, disregard.
We should be good to go.
Yeah, we're fine.
That's why I got up. I went over there and reset it. These goofy cameras only allow us to record up to 30 minutes, so
yeah.
I'm trying to make sure it records the whole thing this time, which is where we went wrong last time. I want to give away my rib recipe.
Your rib recipe? I seen that you had those.
Give it away.
Getting ready. I seen you putting them in the
in
the drum there.
They're good stuff. Yeah, they're good, and they were thawed.
They were thawed?
They were thawed.
Good deal.
I do have capability of thawing out some things. So it doesn't matter how you do it for the purposes of the recipe I'm going to give. I'm just going to give the way I season them and do my thing. But I do them differently. Sometimes I put them on a pellet grill and just let them roll on there for a while. Sometimes I put them in the drum, like you mentioned. Sometimes I hang them in the drum vertically. Sometimes I lay them flat on the grate. Just I do all kinds of things.
Didn't you hang them this time?
I did. So whatever the mood hits. So I'm going to give the generic version, and then I'm going to give you the secret to barbecue.
Oh, the secret.
It is the secret to barbecue.
Well, shit.
It's a little clickbait for the listening ear. You want to stick around for this.
I don't have a pencil and pen, so I'll have to just listen to the show.
Okay. So I take ribs, and it don't matter if they're baby backs or spare ribs or whatever. Whatever you prefer. Of course, thaw them out. That's the obvious.
Yeah, thaw them.
If you want to trim them, trim them. You know, I'm not getting into all that. But remove the membrane. I am one of them people. Take the damn membrane off the back of it. Some people leave them on there, and I don't know why, but they like that crunchy. I don't know. It's not for me.
No.
Membrane off. So what I do is I take a salt, pepper, garlic season blend. I make my own, but there are many on the market, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever strikes your fancy. Season that backside kind of not overly heavy, but not super light, somewhere in between, just a medium-ish seasoning. And I'll let that salt and pepper and garlic kind of sit there and tenderize and do its job. And then I come back across that with a heavier layer of whatever barbecue rub I want to put on it. I make my own called Rib Tickler. This particular time I used Malcolm Reed's Hot Barbecue Rub, I think is the name of it. Anyway, it has a really cool red color to it. And I just like it. So I layer that on the back, let it sit for a little bit, pat it down, make sure it's good and stuck to the meat, and then flip it and do the same on the meat side. Okay.
Okay.
My drum smoker is an Oklahoma Joe's Bronco, and it allows you to hang ribs vertically over the charcoal. So that's what I chose to do this time around. And what's really cool about that is as the ribs are cooking and they're dripping down into those coals, then all that's sitting in there creating that smoke and everything, that flavor that just comes right back up into the rib meat and infuses that. And it's a game changer. But that's not the secret to barbecue yet. I'll tell you the real game changer here in a minute.
I was even thinking about that part, trying to remember.
Now, the downside to them is they will, the very bottoms of your ribs, those last bone or two, you're probably not going to be edible because they're right on top of the coals.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah. I was saving my questions for the end.
It depends on the ribs. So, you know, some people you'll watch, I watch a lot of barbecue videos, they'll trim two or three of those bones off on each side anyway. Mm-hmm. I don't ever do that. You know, I'm not a competition cooker. This is backyard stuff. So
yeah.
I leave that stuff on there. So they hang down a little bit further, and they're going to get in the coals a little bit. So what, you know? My mom actually likes them that way. She likes those crisp black.
She likes burnt.
Yeah, she's...
Me and your mom got a lot in common.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I learned that.
Either one of us like you?
Well, I don't know anybody that does. So anyway.
Yeah.
Once they're on that smoker, whether it be a pellet grill or a Weber or a drum, doesn't matter. I let them run at 275, which that drum is awesome for that because it will lock itself in at 275 and just hammer right there. I mean, it's really cool. It's ideal cooking temp on a drum, but I let it go for about an hour and then I'll spritz them. So I'll open the lid and I have a hook where I hook onto that vertical deal and pull them out of there. And what I like to spritz them with is I have a blend of apple juice, water, and a little bit of Worcestershire sauce in it. Spritz them down real good front and back, put them back in there. And then I let them run another 30 minutes. I'll spritz them again. And then I'll let them run another 30 minutes and I'll spritz them again. Then I pull them off. So I take aluminum foil, and I do all kinds of different things. Sometimes I'll take like a vinegar sauce and put a layer on that foil and then put them down on that. This particular time, I took a stick of butter, cut it up in little sections, put it on the foil, put the rack of ribs meat side down on the butter, and then wrap 3/4 of it up. I wrap and then leave the end open enough just to pour a little bit of apple juice in it and then close it up, and then goes back on the grill. Now, obviously, you're not hanging them vertically at this point.
No.
Laying flat.
You have a mess.
Yes. And that's about an hour-ish. I run them until they hit about 205, 206 between the bones, internal temp. And then what I'll do at that point is drain the butter bath that I just cooked them in for an hour in. I'll drain that butter bath out and then put another light layer of the barbecue rub on the top just for that little bit of pop when you bite into them. And you have some badassery in some ribs.
Hmm.
Now, before the secret to barbecue, what is your question?
You answered it.
Oh, I got it. Okay.
I was a little curious about the bottom half of that, them their ribs, but you answered it, so.
Gotcha.
We're golden.
Now, I've babbled on long enough. I'm going to tell you the secret to barbecue.
All right, I'm ready.
This doesn't apply to a pellet grill, but if you're cooking in charcoal.
Charcoal.
Take an onion. Cut it up in fourths. And drop those chunks of onion down in your charcoal. The smell and flavor that comes out of that is unreal.
Yeah?
Telling you the truth.
What if you're not an onion guy?
It don't matter. You don't have to be.
Okay.
You don't have to like the taste of onion. Just the smell when that onion mixes with that flame and that charcoal.
Yeah.
Is unreal. I mean, every time I do that, I try to put an onion in every time I use charcoal, but almost every time I do it, my kids or wife or all above will come out and go, that smell is amazing. Hmm. Just the smell that it puts out is the shit.
Then I'm going to try it.
You should.
Yeah.
You should.
I'm going to break out the old grill instead of the smoker this week, and I'm going to grill this weekend. I'm going to cut an onion up.
There you go.
Put it in there.
You will not be disappointed.
I hope not. I'm taking Rest your assured. Word for this.
Rest assured, you will not be.
I'll have to listen to the show before I do it to remember what the hell you said, but I'm going to do it, and I'll let you know next week how it turned out.
It's legit.
Will it infuse in hot dogs?
I don't. I've never tried it on a damn hot dog, but I mean, why not?
Why not? It might as well. Mark as well.
I've been hornswoggled.
What dry fires your bow, Michael Edgen?
I got nothing today.
Really?
Yeah. It's been a pretty laid-back week. The weekend was good. No one pissed me off.
Well, I know what dry fires your bow.
Crossbows?
A good old-fashioned, hard-hitting crossbow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kevin dry-fired my bow this morning when you put that on.
Yeah.
Unless that girl's name was Kevin. Ooh. I do have one. We talked about Kevin possibly being that girl.
Mm-hmm. Well, we didn't. You did, but
well, yeah. I'm just hoping that it was her deer.
Sure.
And her name's Kevin. Is the NCAA?
Yeah.
Women's national champion this year.
Which was? I didn't follow.
A fucking guy.
Oh, you're talking about the swimmer.
Yeah. Yeah, the swimmer.
We're March and NCAA. I'm thinking basketball.
Yeah. Okay. No. No, the swimmer.
Yeah.
As a man,
right,
in the NCAA, ranked 462nd. So obviously he's a fucking loser. You know what I mean? And then he tucks his shit and wears a goddamn bikini, and now he's the number one in the country in NCAA. And NCAA acknowledges that. So NCAA can kiss my fucking ass, and so can that jackass who swims with his dick tucked.
So for those of you in the YouTube world,
sorry,
who are tuning into this show for the first time,
ooh,
you're getting the trail cam controversy and the male on the women's swimming team controversy.
That pissed me off. I forgot all about that. And then we talked about Kevin being a potential girl.
I
and that made me think of it.
Yeah, I occasionally see stuff pop across my news feed talking about it, but I don't follow it too closely, so I couldn't have even told you that he won the thing or whatever. I know there's a lot of scuttlebutt over it.
462nd as a man. So he says, fuck it. I'll be a girl. And then I'll go ahead and be the national champion. And the NCAA acknowledges it. So the NCAA can kiss my ass, too.
Well, there you go.
Okay, I'm better now.
All right.
Your turn.
I kind of already did mine. I jumped ahead of myself.
You've done a few today.
Yeah, the DMV is what dry fires my bow. And again, for listeners who aren't in Illinois, I don't know what yours is called, but it's our driver's motor vehicle, whatever building, through the Secretary of State. And that, I don't know if it's like this everywhere, but even the people who work at our DMV, They've got to be miserable, I guess, because they're never friendly. With one exception, a former police officer, co-worker of mine's wife works there, and she always, I don't know if she's rude to everybody else and just not me because
nice
she knows
you,
me,
she knows
or
you.
If she's just generally a good person and nice to everybody, which I believe she is. But some of those people over there are just hateful all the time. And I get it because they are day in, day out dealing with idiots, and I'm sure it gets frustrating. But that place is miserable. It's like, you know, some people hate going to the dentist.
Yeah.
Or hate going to the doctor or whatever. I hate going to the DMV. Can't stand it. I don't even want to go over there and get a freaking registration sticker. I mean, it's always a miserable experience. And
yeah.
So the DMV dry fires my bow, especially after last Friday.
Well, yeah, that was kind of shitty. Because what they could have done is say, just in case of a spot check day, make sure you have this handy.
Yeah.
Instead of you showing up for your appointment that they scheduled, well, that they had you schedule, and then tell you, oh, by the way, you need additional paperwork.
Yeah, and had I not been home and had access to that,
if you went
that child would have left there on her birthday without her driver's license. Mm-hmm. You know,
and that was Friday, so she wouldn't. Well, they are open Saturday, aren't they? Till like noon or something.
Yeah, but you have to make an appointment. So whether or not there's available appointment is a whole other thing. And then they close Sunday, Monday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she would have had to wait till Tuesday. Then she could have played sick today and went and got her license. She didn't play this right at all.
So anyway, that was a rather overwhelming episode, I think.
I will have to say this, though. The Benton DMV,
they're
not very miserable. They're not bad in there. I don't mind going in to that one.
That's where my parents usually go, and they tend to agree. The way you just said, they seem to have a better experience there.
They've got one or two that, you know what I mean, little, but for the most part, like, you go in there, and they're like, oh, how you doing today? Like, what the fuck? Me? You talking to me? I figured that she's on her phone, you know, blowing me off. But no, she was actually really talking to me. So I was like, I'm great. How about you? But yeah, they're pretty decent at the Benton one.
Well, good.
Yeah, swing on by.
Well, that's the thing that's nice is you don't have to go. I mean, we go to Marion because it's just closer and more convenient.
But yeah.
You can go to any facility in the state. Yeah. You don't mm-hmm. have to go to the one in the county you're in or anything. But.
And a lot of stuff you can do online anymore.
Yeah, a lot of it you can.
That's Kelly's thing. I don't
not everything.
Do shit online.
That's the nice thing about, like we were talking about registration stickers, but most of those you can do online now, mm-hmm. you know, not even go over there. But
yeah, I don't do that. She'll get in there because I don't have patience. The first time a screen changes on me, I get pissed and throw my phone and tell her, fuck it, I'm going.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, for all of you guys in the listening world, thanks for tuning in again. And for those new in the video world, welcome to the shit show.
And we're sorry. We are sorry in advance.
But both of y'all know what to do. Grab your bow and get after it.
Get your kids out.
Thanks for listening to another Backwoods Bowhunter episode of Badassery. Didn't get enough? Climb down out of your tree stand and get ready for another epic episode next week. Tim and Mike will take you back down range for more bowhunting content.